to come to the fifth day in the octave of Christmas, and we continue to ponder the revelation of the Word made flesh. Throughout Christmas, we are invited to reflect on this combination of human and divine, of ordinary and extraordinary, the little child in swaddling clothes and the eternal Word. Not one or the other, both together. That's the whole mystery of the incarnation. Today we return to Luke's account of the early days of Jesus' life. After the visit of the shepherds, Luke mentions the child's circumcision, which for us, we won't get to that until Saturday. So we skip over that for now, and we go right to the event that took place 40 days after Jesus was born, the presentation. So today and tomorrow, we'll be reflecting on the presentation. Today, especially, we focus on Simeon. Tomorrow, we focus on Anna. But you see in this gospel, again, this combination of what is ordinary, or what looks ordinary, and what is extraordinary. Let's start with the ordinary level. Joseph and Mary do what devout Jewish families did. They present the child to the Lord. They make the required sacrifice. They fulfill the law. In their case, they couldn't afford a sheep. The normal sacrifice was a lamb. So they brought Jesus, who is himself the lamb, and then as a substitute for the lamb that was supposed to be sacrificed, they offer two little birds, young pigeons or turtle doves. That was what the poor were allowed to offer. So it's a poor family, but a devout family. Nothing unusual about that. That's what devout Jewish families did. They didn't have to go to the temple, but they did have to make an offering, maybe in the local synagogue. In the case of Joseph and Mary, since they were in Bethlehem, which is close to Jerusalem, and since the temple is the center of the whole Jewish life, it's normal. It would be very normal for them to bring the child to the temple. One thing we learn about this is, what this reminds us of, is that religion is first taught in the context of the family. On Sunday, we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Family. Family life is where children learn religion. That's the roots. When families don't take seriously their religious life, the children learn that it's not very important. I think I've mentioned the statistic a number of times, but the very clear difference in religious practice in Catholic families, if the father brings the family to Mass every Sunday, the children are much more likely to become practicing Catholics when they become adults. If the father doesn't go to Mass on Sundays, he doesn't go with the children or oblige the children to go, the children usually grow up non-practicing, or maybe they have no religion at all, even if the mother is very devout. And this is especially true of the boys. If the boys don't see their father going to Mass, then they learn that it's not very important. So here's Joseph, and he's the father figure. He does what a good father does, brings the child and the mother to the temple. Now, like I say, this is ordinary. This is not nothing unusual or special about this. It's just normal religious life. Along comes Simeon. Now, this is where the extraordinary part comes in, because Simeon, he might look like an ordinary old man. We don't know much about him, if he had any role in the temple or not. All it says is that he lived in Jerusalem, and he was righteous and devout, and he was old. That's as much as we've got. So we don't know if he was a priest or if he was from a tribe of Levi or if he had any role. But he was a man with great sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and he had received a promise apparently many years ago, that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. So he lived in hope of seeing the Messiah. He comes along at this moment. It says he came in the Spirit, meaning the Spirit moved him to go to the temple at precisely this moment. The Holy Family wasn't in the temple very long. You go there, you offer your sacrifice, you go home. So Simeon had to be there at exactly the right moment, and the Holy Spirit arranged it. And so when he sees Jesus, he takes the child, he's 40 days old, this child, he takes him in his arms, and he makes this extraordinary prophetic proclamation. This is one of the canticles that's found in Luke's Gospel, the Canticle of Simeon, which is used in the Liturgy of the Hours at night prayer, every day night prayer. Canticle of Simeon, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. The promise he had received, the word he had received, and what the promise that he had been waiting to see fulfilled is at last fulfilled. So what we see here is the transition from Advent to Christmas. Advent is the time of waiting, reflecting on the promises of God. Christmas is the time of fulfillment. But now the promise has been fulfilled. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. I mean, seeing Jesus is the salvation. Jesus, this little child, wrapped in swaddling clothes, is a light to reveal you, to reveal God to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. So it's a declaration, not only that God fulfills his promises, but how he reveals his promises, by sending Jesus, light of the world, the glory of Israel. That's it, this is the extraordinary part. That's not the sort of thing you expect someone to say. Now I see the fulfillment of your promise. Now I see with my own eyes the light of revelation. But that's what he said. Prophetic message. And it says the father, Joseph and Mary, are amazed at what was said about the child. I don't know if you remember when the shepherds went to Bethlehem and told Joseph and Mary about the message of the angel. They were amazed at that too. It's the same reaction. They were amazed at what the shepherd said. Now they're amazed at what Simeon says. Now, we don't know exactly what this amazement is. It might be amazement at what was said. It might also be amazement that someone else knows what only they knew. I mean, they didn't tell anybody that this child is the light of the world. But here Simeon knows it already. That is amazing. On the other hand, they might not have been thinking in those terms of Jesus as the light of revelation to the nations. It made sense to them when they heard it, but still, how could they have even conceived of such an idea? That he's the glory of people Israel. Okay, so this is the extraordinary part of this event of the presentation. And then Simeon continues. So this is not only a revelation of light and glory, there's also an awareness that this child has to pass through suffering. And this is an important part of the Christmas season. We recall at Christmas that suffering is part of the journey. It's part of Jesus' journey. It's part of the journey of his disciples. Yesterday we celebrated the holy innocents who suffered for Christ, and Christ suffered for them. Today we honor that martyr I mentioned, the Middle Ages, Thomas Becket. He received the glorious call to be a bishop, archbishop. He was also called to lay down his life as a martyr. Well, this is the story. So Simeon tells Mary Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. Here he is, the light of the world. Here he is, the light of revelation. This is the awaited Messiah. He's going to be opposed. You would think that the people of God, who had been prepared for generations for the coming of the Messiah, would not oppose him, but that, we know the story. He's opposed. If you want to understand why, you can get a better sense of it from today's first reading. John speaks about the coming of the light that is already shining, the true light is already shining, but and light always has more power than the darkness, but it's possible for people to remain in darkness, even though the light is shining. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. That's the first reading. He walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's the darkness that will be the opposition to Jesus, the light of the world. He's going to run into hatred. Now, this is not only a message about Simeon and about the people of Israel. This is about all of us. We are all Simeon. We have all received the promise. We are all Advent people who are rejoicing that the promise of God is fulfilled. And we are all also anticipating the experience of suffering, the contradictions that are part of being a disciple. We pray that we ourselves will not cling to darkness, that we will repent of sin and let go of anything that brings darkness. And we pray for perseverance, that when we experience darkness from outside, from one another and from the world, that we will not deviate from the path of truth and love and righteousness. That we can be like Simeon, rejoicing that God has fulfilled his promise, rejoicing that that God's light is shining now, that he's revealed himself, and giving thanks to God. So it's time to give thanks to God, even though we are aware of the contradiction, the experience of contradiction that is part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world and also a sign that will be contradicted.